The Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Tonight, in our Vespers, we'll be led by Dan Erlander, who we have all heard speak in this room this morning. Tonight, he will give us an opportunity to give thanks for the day as we remember our baptism. So now let's take a moment to settle in, to quiet our hearts, and prepare ourselves for worship.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. For the wonder of creation, for the gift of water, for the gift of your promises to us in the water of baptism, send now your Holy Spirit and renew us in faith and hope and love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We sing Healing River.
The reading is from Romans chapter 6. What then are we to say? Should we continue to sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who have died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. The word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Some years ago, my wife Karen and I had this New Year's tradition with two other families. One was Ann and Peter Cohan, and Noah, Sonia, and Mary. These are old Holden friends. And Linda Gamrath and Tom Smith and their daughter, Claire. And Ellen, who just read the lesson, is a grandmother of Claire. But on New Year's Eve, we would all meet together up in Acme, Washington, near the Canadian border, at the home of Tom and Linda. And we would celebrate New Year's Eve in kind of a boring way. The only thing at 12 o'clock, we shot off a big cannon-size old rifle. That was all. And then on New Year's Day, we would just play games and things. Well, this one New Year's Day, the adults decided to all work on a picture puzzle. And is there anyone here besides me that just doesn't do picture puzzles? Okay. It's a minority, I know. But so my other choice was to go into the living room and watch a video with the children, which I did. And sat there with the children around me, one on my lap. And when the video started, I realized it was the newer version of A Little Princess by Anne Hodgkins. I was drawn into an amazing story about Sarah, 8 or 9 year old girl in England. Her mother had died, raised by her father, who was called into military service during World War I. So he sends his daughter Sarah to New York, where she is enrolled in a very exclusive boarding school for girls. And it is run by the villain of the film, Miss Mitchkins. And it's kind of a melodrama. When she appears, you can hiss. That's okay. Miss Mitchkins. Sarah becomes the most popular girl in the school. She's a storyteller, and the other students gather around her, and she tells stories about India, where she grew up. Also, she is almost the wealthiest in the school, has the best room, the nicest clothes, and everything is going fine. She's popular, learning, surrounded by friends, and one day, Miss Mitchkins calls Sarah into her office and coldly tells her that her father has died in battle and there are no more finances. Instead of throwing her out on the street because she has no family or relatives, she tells Sarah that she will become a servant girl in the school, which means she must turn in all of her clothes, lose her room, turn in all of her possessions, even the gold pendant that has pictures of her mother and her father on this little pendant. Now she's dressed in the ragged clothes of a slave girl or a servant girl. She is sent up into the cold attic to live on a cold wooden floor. She and the other servant girl, Becky, a black girl her age, now clean the toilets, the fireplaces, do all of the menial work, scrub the floors. And the students, Sarah's friends, are not allowed to talk to Sarah or Becky because they are a lower class. One day, Sarah and Becky are in the cold attic. And Sarah is deeply discouraged, sad, lonely, humiliated. But then Becky reminds her of one of her stories. She reminds her of when Sarah told her about her father and how one day he took her on his lap. And there he said to her, "If you are ever discouraged, or if your dignity is ever taken away, just say, I am a princess. Now, Sarah means princess in Hebrew. So then Sarah remembers. Then she finds a piece of chalk there in the attic and she makes a big circle on the wooden floor. And first says, I am a princess. And then she lies down in that circle and she is at peace. Now the rest of the story I will not tell you, so you might watch the film some way, sometime. How long do you want to stay here? But the rest of the story is the working out of this. What happens when a girl who believes in her heart that she is a princess confronts the system run by Miss Mitchkins? Okay. Well, the film ended and the credits were on, and just before the children ran out to play, they heard me say, great baptism story, great baptism story. And then with their eyeballs rolling, they left to play in the yard. Sitting alone, I looked out the window, saw them playing, and I asked myself, will they have a circle? When all the voices come and try to tell them what they must be, or that they are worthless if they don't do this, I looked through the window at the girls. Will they be told and will they listen to the voices that say, if you don't look absolutely beautiful and thin and wear the right clothes, will they feel worthless? And the boys, you know, unless you are tough and successful, and we could go on and on. And the voices of commerce that come and try to strip them of any identity outside of being a young consumer. I remember in our grocery store at home on Whidbey Island, there are the little carts, baskets that children can push with a pole going up and a sign that says, I forgot. Oh, yeah. Customer in training. Yeah. And that's what a consumer world wants for all of us, that we not have an identity other than what we buy. And then I thought of baptism. Most fonts or pools are round, they're a circle. And then I said, this is their circle, and this is my circle. And here, as the father said to Sarah, you are a princess to go to these waters. Or we as children of God were given a name, an identity, that identity being a precious child of God. And it is to that circle that we can rest. For here we are named not to be a privileged in-group, but resting in Jesus to have an identity as a partner with God in God's dream to mend a broken world. In the story, Sarah needed Becky to remind her of the precious words of her father. You are a princess. I need to be reminded over and over. I need to be reminded in many ways of these waters, and that is where I go to claim again my identity. We need to remind each other. One way is to just make the mark of the cross on each other and say, you are a precious child of God. Stories of parents who have done this with their children over the years, daily. Before I go on trips like this to speak, my wife Karen always signs me with a cross and says, remember your baptism. You are a precious child of God, and be perky. And goodness knows I try. But that is not where my identity is. So to remember our baptism into Jesus Christ. Now, we'll sing a hymn, and it's 409. And part of this hymn that you will sing a refrain that you see at the bottom, and Marty will lead you. And then we are going to have branches that will scatter water on you when you're singing that refrain. And just one word of advice, if you could close your hymnal when the water comes to you, or else we'll have one page that's all bloopy. But this is an ancient way of our remembering that glorious day when God announced to us, we are precious children of God. To remember our baptism. An ancient way is for water to be sprinkled on the people of the church. Tonight, when a drop of water hits you, give thanks for your baptism, for your identity as a child of God, a follower of Christ, and welcome to make the sign of the cross on yourself or on your forehead. And we'll respond then by singing, Renew Us.
Waters of the earth, waters of the sea, renew us. Waters of the sky, waters of our birth, rivers of the earth, gentle flowing streams, Spirit of our hopes, Spirit of our dreams, waters of the clouds, waters of the wind, Spirit of our dreams, waters that have been, mighty blowing storms, gentle falling rain. water for the vine, water for the grain. You who give us life, you who give us breath. You beyond our fears, you beyond our death. Springing from the earth, dancing from the sky. Springing from our hearts, welling up within. Spirit of our hopes, spirit of all peace. Spirit of our joy, spirit of all life. Refrain. God, you have moved upon the waters. You have sung in the rush of wind and flame. And in your love you have called us sons and daughters. Make us people of the water and your name. Give us a thirst for love, give us a hunger for justice, make us one with the mind of Christ. God, you have moved upon the waters, you have sung in the rush of
Before the closing prayer, I thought during this beautiful sprinkling that there may be some who have not been baptized, and I hope for you it is a time of thanksgiving for the wonderful gift of God's creation of water that nourishes the earth and gives us love and gives us life. Let us pray. O loving God, Creator, we give you thanks for freeing your sons and daughters from the power of sin and raising them to a new life through this holy sacrament. We give you thanks for the name we have been given as disciples of Jesus and precious children of God. Now pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and the spirit of joy in your presence. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Go in peace to serve the Lord.